out of Isaiah, the fifth chapter, verse 20. And it should be, Isaiah said out of the fifth chapter. I want to read this. And that's verse, if you all have your Bibles, we're going to look at verse 20 out of the book of Isaiah. Watch what Isaiah says. And he's talking about when you reverse, you know, the norms or the ideals that brought health to that culture at one point. It says when you start reversing that kind of stuff, that culture is doomed, in other words, for failure. So that's Isaiah 5, verse 20, and it reads as follows. It says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Watch this. "Who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." That ideal of woe is what Isaiah is simply saying, is that you better watch out. You are messing with something that is going to cause challenges and collapse and difficulty in the life of the nation. And that's the ideal. He says, when you start calling good evil and evil good, and he's simply saying destruction really is certain when you start calling darkness light and light darkness. And he's literally saying that can be the beginning of the collapse of that nation, of that culture, and that culture is not going to last. And that's really what was happening, you know, 2,600 years ago to the nation of Israel. The nation had fallen into immorality, they had fallen into idolatry, they had fallen into injustice. Hear that? They had fallen into injustice, and certainly that is the prevailing culture in which we live today. This ideal of immorality and this ideal of injustice and idolatry, where we are idolizing everything except God, and dealing with this ideal of injustice, of people being treated fairly. When you get to those places and points in a culture, the culture is right on the precipice of collapsing. And that's what we see prevailing in our community, our culture today, with the uprise of these individuals who stormed the Capitol, and all of this social unrest that we find going on within our country. It is an upheaval. It is an uproar when you're dealing with the area of what's right and calling right wrong and wrong right and bitter sweet and sweet bitter. You know, it says, "Woe." I mean, that's what Isaiah says, "Woe." And we know these prophets were warning Israel over and over again. It happened in Israel, but don't be too remiss about the fact that it is happening today. Things are going on that we have to address and deal with. Over and over again, the children of Israel were warned by certain prophets like Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Zephaniah, all warned the children of Israel about, listen, if you don't straighten up, if you don't get it right, doom is going to happen. And they were predicting and talking about it. Daniel, was just a young teenage boy when all of this was happening. But, the prophets of old were sharing with them, with the children of Israel, about, the incoming doom, that if they didn't straighten up, if they didn't repent, if they didn't turn around, if they didn't seek after the things of God, God was going to make a move. And, if we don't get our act together, those prophets were simply saying, you're going to lose your freedom. And, God was simply suggesting through those prophets, you know, look, I'm upset at the way things are going. I don't like it. And all of this immorality and idolatry and injustice that's going on in society. And sure enough, and 600 B.C., the emperor of the powerful Babylonian Empire invaded Israel. And God had sent prophet after prophet after prophet to warn them. And then 600 B.C., here comes Nebuchadnezzar in to conquer and invade the children of Israel. The Babylonian Empire was the most powerful empire of its day. They came in and took over and took the entire nation of Israel. And they destroyed Jerusalem, the capital city, and took 25% of the nation of Israel as prisoners of war back to Babylon. That's where we find Daniel. That's where we see Daniel, and that collapse of Israel shook everybody in Israel to the core, shook them to the core. And we're grateful for the book of Daniel, because the book of Daniel shows us how you can remain unshakable in a shaken world. When everything is in an upheaval, when everything is seems to be on the disastrous end, we see how we can remain unshakable. I hope you get that, unshakable faith, that no matter what life throws at us, we're gonna remain steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's the goal that we want to share with and walk through this book of Daniel. In Psalms 82, Asaph, he talks about how a lot of people, dealt with the issue of what was going on, and this is how God dealt with how God dealt with the issues of Israel at that time. And I want you to see this. This is God sitting in council with himself. Psalms 82. He's sitting in council with himself, and watch what he says. If you have your Bibles, I want you to look at that real quick. And this is Asaph writing about the times. Psalms 82. I know I got it here somewhere. But watch what he says. And that is, watch what he says, starting at verse 1. And God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. Here's what he said. He's talking to the children of Israel. Watch this. How long will you judge unjustly? Here's what he says. And show partiality. That word partiality is our modern word. You know, we deal with racism and injustice, all of that. Will you show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and to the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. Watch what he says. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. There is that ideal of shaken. All the foundations of the earth. God is sitting in judgment, and he's literally shaking things up. You know, how long are you going to judge? He's talking to him. Unjustly, and how long are you going to show partiality? You're going to favor those that are not doing right and wicked and all this other stuff. How long? In that verse 5, he says all the foundations of the earth are shaken. is shaken. And that's what we see going on with all of this stuff going on in our world, in our country. God is shaking things up. And listen, beloved, you better recognize with all of this shaking, God is also shaking the church. He's shaking the church of all, you know, we want to make sure that we on the right path or that we doing the right thing. And it's shaking up how things are going or how we are operating and all of that stuff. And so how do we when things are being shaken up, you know, how do we remain there and being faithful? That's that ideal of on your outline, all the foundations of society are being shaken to the core. That's it right there. It's being shaken. And I hope that sounds familiar to where we are in our culture right now. Society seems to be shaken when it comes to our economy. And God has allowed us to be in this pandemic, and there are those who've lost jobs and lost income, shaken. Our government, as we see in our election and the misrepresentation that was taking place, and the challenges and the lies, shaken. Our society is being shaken at the core when it comes to this injustice and our freedoms, and all of this stuff is being shaken. And even when it comes to religion, where, you know, we are afraid even to come into the church due to the pandemic, but not only that, but also due to the insurrection of some crazed people out there. God is shaking things up, even in church life. Marriages are being shaken and families are being shaken. You know, people are walking away from that which at one time it was something solid and faithful in their life. Now you got more people committed to Black Lives Matter than they are committed to the Messiah. Are y'all listening to me? And so God's shaking things up. And I'm not saying that we ought not involve ourselves in social justice and all of that. I say we do. And there's reasons behind it, and I'll talk about that at a later date. But I'm saying, where is my commitment? Is it more to God, or is it more to a movement? Is it more to the Messiah? That's better. Or is it more to a movement? So even our educational system is being shaken. Our kids are not being, you know, with this pandemic, they have been, you know, the ones who didn't have Wi-Fi and wasn't able to get on or log on. How are we correcting all this? All this stuff in our society right now, whether we want to accept it or not, God has allowed some things to be shaken up. And we are in the midst of a society that is being shaken to its core. And that's why I want to talk about this going forward, because we've got to realize, how can we stand strong? How can we remain faithful? And how can we remain unshakable in a shaken world? How can we thrive? I believe that's what God wants. How can we thrive and not just survive? I don't want us to be a people who just survive. No, I think God still says that you can thrive, that we can thrive even in the midst of an unshakable world, even though the economy is shaken, even though society is shaken, even though the government is shaken, even though our educational system is shaken. We got all of this unrest. God says, still, I tell you what, just like Daniel, we can thrive in the midst of it. Are y'all listening to me? That's it. We're living in a great time of upheaval. And it's not probably going to get any better. I hope somebody hears that. You know, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. And so this lessons is not about the doom and the gloom. This is not about the world shaking. This is about the answer to the shaking. Are you listening to me? Not about the doom and the gloom and all this other stuff that's going on, although it is, and we're in an upheaval. What I want to share with us through these lessons is that this is about the answer. This is about the answer to the shaking. How am I going to be faithful? How am I going to be steadfast? How am I going to hang in there? So I pray that through these lessons, we continue to develop an unshakable faith, unshakable, no matter what they throw at us, no matter what happens to us, no matter what comes down the pipe, we are going to remain faithful to God and know that God will see us through. We're going to trust him. Are you listening to me? No matter what goes on in the world. So that's what I want to talk about in this Old Testament series, Unshakable, and no matter what comes against you, and it all starts with this young boy, Daniel. Young boy Daniel. Daniel, when we look at the book of Daniel, what we will see in the book of Daniel, Daniel goes from 15 to 85. And in those 70 years, he starts off at 15 as a prisoner of war and ends up 70 years later as the second in command in the midst of being taken out of his homeland, in the midst of never seeing his family again, in the midst of trying to be indoctrinated by Babylonian society, Daniel remains unshakable in the midst of all of that. And that's what we want to talk about. Never see his parents again, never see his homeland again. And he spends the rest of his life in a foreign, hostile land, and yet he remains unshakable. I hope somebody gets that today. So we're going to study that in the book of Daniel. I want us to look at the first seven verses of Daniel, and we'll see what it says. Just today, we're going to look at the first seven verses. Then we'll walk through a couple of other things later on. First seven verses, watch what it says. And in verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and, underline that word, and besieged it. Get that? And besieged it. Listen, we ever felt besieged in our life where it seems as if something has just robbed you of everything that you knew. It's besieged you. That's what the text says, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and just besieged it, took everything that they knew was grounded and on a foundation, everything that they realized was good and maybe godly and all of that, besieged it. And we've all felt that in our life, where something has happened that seems to besiege us, to rob us of all of our joy, our time. We put all that work in. We put all that time in. We put all that money in to do it. And then all of a sudden, it felt as if something was caving in on us. That's how they felt. That's the way Daniel and the people of Jerusalem felt. They were besieged by Nebuchadnezzar's army. And then it goes on to say, and verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hand, into his hand. Whose hand? Nebuchadnezzar's hand. Get that. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hands with some of the vessels of the house of God. Get that. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim into his hands. That's some deep stuff there, because often, listen, God, what we see here is God using a pagan man to chastise his people. He's using He's using someone that don't even know him, that don't even trust in him, to chastise his people. He warned them over and over and over and over and over again as it related to their immorality, their idolatry, and their injustice. And so God is using even a pagan man, of individual that don't even know him, to chastise him. Listen, you all think that this man inherited this inherited the presidency and everybody in the world can't figure out how he got in office. Yes, I'm talking about, I can't even say his name, but the former of president. And we said, well, how in the world did he get in there? Let me tell you how he got in there. God allowed him to get in there, because I believe God was trying to expose some stuff to us so that we can see exactly for everything for what it really is. And when that individual got into office, things began to come to light that we thought everything, some folk thought everything was okay. Are y'all listening to me? And so I love that verse. It says, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim. The Lord allowed it to happen. The Lord, and we want to cuss out all of this other stuff that's going on. But let me tell you something. What has happened in our society today, you better recognize that it was God who has allowed it to happen. And it wasn't no accident. It wasn't no happenstance. Now we're able to see things for what they really are, and knowing that there are some things that we have to do that we can't rely on everybody else to do for us, because we want to partner with people that really don't like us and really don't want to be with us. You got to be careful, because God allowed to expose some stuff, and he did that using a pagan man. Hello, somebody. To allow, expose some of this stuff to happen. And so watch what, in verse, again, verse 2, watch what happens. It says, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of God. Listen, he took these vessels, these supposedly sacred vessels from the house of God, and brought them to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Get that? He gonna take the sacred stuff out of the house of God, out of the temple, and put it in the house of his God. Well, why? He's trying to let them know that my God is better than your God, you know. And soon we'll find out. But the idea is listen. God always will prove himself to be the God, the only one and true God. And so this is Nebuchadnezzar trying to one-up God. And I hope the world gets this. I hope society gets this. Listen, you can't one-up God, because eventually things are going to come fast and furious. Watch verse 3 of that. He says, then the king commanded Aspenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility. Watch this. Youth without blemish, of good appearance, watch this, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, and learning, and competence to stand in the king's palace, to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. What do we see here? What we see here is what is the prevailing thought even in society, is that the king said, bring me the best and the brightest. Bring me those that look good, that are smart, and those that are physically strong. That's how society gauges folk anyway, by beauty, brains, and brawn. That's what he's literally saying in that verse. Bring me those beautiful, those that are got strength, those that are, you know, are got athletic prowess, and bring me those that are intellectual. And then what's happening, he says, I want to teach them the ways of the Chaldeans. I want to convert them. Indoctrinate them into the Babylonian program. In other words, that's what he's saying. So I need those that are academic and athletic and look good in appearance. And I want to indoctrinate them into the Babylonian, the Chaldean program. And so they're being indoctrinated. We see in that verse, they're being indoctrinated to the Babylonian program. And it names three young men, Daniel. His name is Belteshazzar, and Hananiah, and Azariah. And we know them as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know that Hananiah was renamed Shadrach, Mishael was named Meshach, and Azariah was Abednego, and Daniel was renamed Belteshazzar. What's going on here is what they're trying to do is reprogram them from their Jewish culture to their Babylonian culture. They renamed them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael, trying to indoctrinate them into Babylonian culture. And whenever somebody tries to indoctrinate you into their system, they're going to try to change your name. They're going to try to indoctrinate you to believe what they believe and indoctrinate you. That's a whole nother sermon series. just know that. You just gotta know who you are, and don't be fooled into thinking you are not who you are. You are who you are. Amen. And I don't care how much they place on you or give you or put you in the palace. You are who you are, and eventually they're gonna make sure you know exactly who you are. So that's a whole nother story. Things are shaking up. Here it is. Daniel taken out of his homeland. Things are shaking up. Daniel is no longer in his own homeland. He's been picked out as the best and the brightest, those that are athletic, those that look good in appearance, and those that deals with beauty, brains, and brawn, those that are intellectual. So here we are. Things that for a 15-year-old boy, shaking, things are shaken up, and you can't get any more shaken up than that in your life. Just robbed of your homeland, taken out from among your family and your friends, and then you are now put into this indoctrinating program to where it's to strip you of everything that you learned as a little boy growing up. You think his world wasn't shaken up? Yes, it was. It was shaken up. And listen, beloved. Here's the key. And that even though Daniel's life was shaken up, Daniel, this 15-year-old kid, grew into a great man of God, one of the greatest prophets in all of the Bible. He did it. Watch this. While keeping his integrity, his faith intact. And he did that in a hostile culture. And in that hostile culture, he kept on getting promoted. Get that? He thrived. Not just survived. He didn't just survive. Daniel thrived in a hostile culture. Listen, beloved, you better know this. If you don't know anything else, we are living in a hostile culture. And yet God says, I want you to thrive. You can thrive in a hostile culture. Yes, you can. You can make it. You can get over the hump. You can get through this. You can thrive in a hostile culture by putting your faith in Almighty God. Doing it God's way, we can. Doing it God's way, we can get through this. Doing it God's way in the midst of a hostile culture, we can make it through. That's what we see in Daniel. Daniel was promoted. We'll see it five times. He outlived three pagan god, pagan emperors, and he was able to literally to convert two of them to trust in his God. So now you don't, if that ain't thriving, I don't know what is. We just saw it. They changed his name, try to indoctrinate him, remove the culture out of him, and yet he five times promoted. We'll see it. Well, five times God promoted him, and not only that, he was, at the end of his life, he was second in command of the entire nation. Listen, that's thriving if you ask me. And how you do that? And how, for a 15-year-old boy starting out the way he did, I don't know how in the world he got that done other than making sure that he had his trust in Almighty God. That is Daniel's life. This is the life of an amazing young man who thrived in spite of what life threw at him. Are y'all with me? So that's what we ought to do when life upends us. So we ought to learn how to thrive. We ought to learn how to get through this when our life becomes unstable and unsteady, when the world around us is shaking like it is now, we can still thrive. That's what I'm loving about this new assignment at St. Paul, is that even in the midst of all of this stuff, I've discovered, listen, we're not laying down. We're not laying down and just accepting things for what they are and just gonna let stuff come to us. We're trying to make sure that we're not just surviving here, you know. No, we want to be able to thrive in the midst of this shaking society. As this world is shaking around us, we want to be a church in the heart of Oak Park that is thriving in spite of it. I hope you get that. And let me just say this real quick. If you don't want to be part of a thriving church, you probably ought to go somewhere else. Listen, because we're going to try to get better. We're going to try to do better. We're going to try to make it work. We're going to try, in spite of all of this and all of the whatever the challenges are, whatever the criticisms are, our goal is to not just survive. And that's not what God wanted for his church. Get this. Hear me good. God said it like this. He says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That sounds like, in spite of what's going on in society, that the church is supposed to thrive and not just survive. Not only the church, but you and I are supposed to be able to thrive in the midst of an shaking world. We ought to remain unshakable. Ooh, doggy, I done talked myself happy. Listen, beloved, we got to get that. We want to be like Daniel. Listen, when our life is shaken by death, when our life is shaken by divorce, when our life is shaken by certain challenges and depression and being destitute and all this other stuff that's happening in our life, listen, beloved, can we thrive in this culture? And the answer is yes. So what do we learn today? This is what I want us to get. And we'll probably utilize this outline next week. So I just laid the background, the backdrop for us on all of this. I want to give you a couple of things today. Keep this outline. We'll come back to it next week. I want to give you the first thing, that if we're going to thrive, if we're going to remain unshakable, how do we do that? What do we do? First of all, on your outline, this is what I want you to see. What do you do when you get to that place? What do you do when life throws your curve, when society is shaking all around us, when you're dealing with immorality and people being treated unfairly and all of this stuff, when your whole world is shaking? What do you do? First of all, I want us to look at this, and this, we'll get back to Daniel later on. We went through those first couple of verses, but this is the thing. First of all, what do? Is don't be surprised by adversity. Put that in that long blank. Don't be surprised by adversity. In other words, listen, when the nation of Israel was finally overtaken, they shouldn't have been surprised. It shouldn't have been, it didn't have to come to them as a surprise when Nebuchadnezzar besieged the nation of Israel, because the prophets had already begun to tell them over and over and over again that if you don't straighten up, this is going to happen. It shouldn't have been a shock to them. It threw them in an upheaval, but it should not have been a shock that something was going to happen, that they were about to lose their freedoms because those prophets had warned them. And I could hear the prophets walking around the city saying, man, I told y'all, I told you this was going to happen. I tried to tell you, y'all wasn't listening. You know, this is what was going to happen. It shouldn't have been a surprise to them. And listen, beloved, we ought not be surprised by the enemy. Watch what 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says. It says, my friends, don't be shocked. Don't be surprised when you suffer through painful tests and trials as if something strange is happening to you. In other words, we ought not be taken aback if something adversely comes in our life. If death comes, if maybe divorce comes, if we lose our job, it ought not surprise us. Hello, somebody. Because what Peter is saying is that, listen, we ought to expect adversity to happen at some point in our life. Listen, if Grandmama said it like this, if you just keep on living, and sooner or later, something is going to happen that will shake your world. Are you listening to me? And it ought not take us back. We ought not be surprised by it as if something strange. Why is this happening to me? Oh, I can't even believe this happened. No, we ought to know that Murphy's Law? If something bad could happen, it would happen. It can happen. If something can happen, it will happen. That's the ideal. There is going to be something that literally shakes your world. And let me just say this. I don't care how much faith you have. I don't care how much you trust God. God will allow some stuff to happen in our life. It's going to happen one way or another. And it ought not surprise us as if something strange is happening to us. I'm a child of God. This shouldn't be happening to me. I know the Lord. I go to church every Sunday. I know my Bible, and I pray every day. I pray night, and I pray noon, and I pray in the morning, and this shouldn't be happening to me. Why is this? No, it ought not be something happening that's strange to us. In this world, that's your verse there. In this world, you will have tribulation. That's that message. He says, in this world, you will experience difficulty. But I like the way the old King James or the King James, in this world, you will have, or you shall have tribulation. Not you might, but you will have it. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples that you follow me, you love me, you walking with me, but you still going to have some tribulation. But he says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He didn't say you ain't going to go through it. That's why, you know, all this faulty theology and doctrine that you said, if I got enough faith, I'm not going to get sick. Well, you can have all the faith in the world and still God allows you to get sick. You can have all the faith in the world and God still allows you to lose your job. Say, well, if I just had enough faith, it wouldn't happen. That's not true, because eventually something's going to happen. I hope you get that, you know. And one of the reasons why we got to understand it, we're shaking up in our life is in the normal part of this life. It's the normal part of a broken world. We are not in heaven yet. Heaven is where the place will be where we won't have any tears or sorrows or suffering. There'll be no more. It's the land of no more. No more tears and no more suffering and no more sorrow. Where every day will be Sunday. Come on, somebody, help me. Where the S-O-N is always shining. Are y'all listening to me? But that's when we get to heaven. That ain't on this side. On this side, you shall have tribulation. Do we like it? No. But we're going to have it. And we ought not be taken back by it. Listen. Every day on this side, because of sin, relationships are broken, people are broken, our minds are not as healthy on this side. The weather is broken. Come on, somebody help me. Looking at what's happening in Texas, everything is broken on this side. I mean, they're freezing temperatures, and they say global warming and whatever it is broken. Broken. Everything is broken. The economy is broken on this side. And we should not expect things to be perfect on planet Earth. As long as we hear, listen, something bad can happen in my life. And it ain't about why me. Why not me? I'll tell you why you, because you live on planet Earth. You ain't in heaven yet. Amen, somebody. And that's coming later. But as long as you're here, there's going to be some suffering. Hello, somebody. There's going to be some trials, and we ought not be surprised by it. We ought not be taken back by it. Listen, I'm at a point in my life, this is where I am in my life right now, and I hope somebody understands when I say this, I'm at a place in my life where I don't put anything past anything. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. It could happen tomorrow. Somebody I love could pass away. I could lose a job. I mean, I don't put anything past anything or anybody now. If it could happen, I'm at that place now that where I expect something bad or adverse to happen. I'm not a pessimist. I'm an optimist. But I'm a realist as well. And because of God's word, and it tells me that I live on this side of planet Earth, I'm not surprised about stuff that happens in my life anymore. I used to be taken aback by stuff. Woo, what? How in the Lord? Gee, no, I ain't so much taken aback anymore as I was when I was younger. Now, I see clearly that as long as I'm on planet Earth, I will experience some tribulation. And it may not be today, may not be tomorrow, but there will be tribulation coming in my life. And guess what, beloved? You ought to keep your feet planted firmly on planet Earth and recognize that there will be some tough stuff that happen in your life as well. Are y'all listening to me? In this world, you will. Not might, but you will. That's a promise. Jesus is promising you're going to have some tough days. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. You know, don't cave in. He says, be at peace. He says, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And he tells us we got to learn to be at peace with it. It's going to happen. We got to be unshakable. So what do we do when we typically go through a crisis? We try to figure out who's to blame or who's at fault and all of that. And, when we start blaming who's at fault and all this other stuff, that word blame is B-L-A-M-E. We will be blaming everybody else or somebody else for stuff going on and no, God has allowed this thing to happen, and we trying to figure it out, and God God says, you know, what we're doing is just perpetuating the problem when we start playing the blame game. You know, we want to blame the politicians. We want to blame Donald Trump, be mad at the government and all that stuff. Instead of asking whose fault it is, we ought to be asking, okay, what should I do? I'm in this because, listen, let me just tell you, there are four sources to the problems in our life. The number one is that blank there. Instead of trying to play a blame game, figure it out. Listen, what the question is, what should we do? Because there, when it comes to problems, let me tell you real quick, right up front, who's to blame? Number one, you. I, K. Ray, am K. Ray's worst enemy. I can't blame a whole lot of my stuff on somebody else. It's the enemy in me. It's me. Hello, somebody. And you can't blame everybody else. And you know, some of the worst decisions I've made in my life, didn't nobody make me, force me. No, some of the craziest stuff and worst decisions I ever made in my life was made by K. Ray. That's why I call myself Kenny Ray. Hello, somebody. When I want to get to the source of any problems in my life, I just start first of all with me. Myself, and I. And that's one of the greatest things for all of us, that when we get to heaven, listen, we won't have to live with our flaws, our own failures, you know, our phobias, our fears. We won't have to live with all that. We won't have, because all, it'll be perfect up there. That's one of the blessings, that when we get to heaven, we won't have to live with ourselves as we are here on planet Earth, because we can be our number one greatest enemy. I know Satan, the devil, made me do it. We think we Flip Wilson. No. Sometimes it's just me, myself, and I. Y'all, just, if you don't believe me, read Romans chapter 7, where Paul, the writer of Romans, talked about the good that I would, that I did not. You know, and when I wanted to do good, I didn't do it. And when I wanted, didn't that which I did not want to do, that's what I found myself doing. You know, he wasn't blaming that on nobody else. He said, I wanted to do good, but I just didn't do it. And then when I didn't, that which I tried, you know, I knew not to do, that's what the very thing I found myself doing. And we want to blame everybody else. Well, it's how I grew up. It's my background. And it's the folk that did that. No. Some of that stuff, we can't blame on nobody else but us. But K. Ray, hello, somebody. And don't look at me funny. It's the same way it is with you, beloved. You can't blame that on nobody else but you. Hello, somebody. The second problem, source of the problems in this world, you want to play the blame game? Not you, but it is the world itself, because the ideal is that it's our nature within us, but it is the world around us. That's the ideal. You know, the world is trying to pull us down. We live, hear me, in a cruel, evil world. This is not a godly society. We live in a cruel, evil world, and where we encounter mean and manipulative people, scheming and controlling people, and there are some narcissistic individuals out there in the world that will try to manipulate you in ways. This is an evil world and an evil system in this world. When I look at the atrocities that happened to the African American as slaves coming up in this area, I can't think about the evilness of this world. There are some atrocities that, listen, every African American ought never forget. We can forgive, but we can't forget. Even though you may have asked forgiveness, listen, there's some stuff that every African American ought to never forget that happened to us, the atrocities and the evilness of this world. And I know some of my white and Caucasian brothers say, well, that wasn't me. I ain't do all that. Well, that's why I want to suggest to you, beloved, yeah, you didn't do it, but you benefited from some of that stuff. And you are where you are simply because you were able, watch me now, to get loans where we weren't able to get loans. You were able to live in whatever neighborhood you want and buy a home, which created equity in your family that you were able to pass down from generation to generation. And you allowed, placed us 400 years behind the eight ball. So I know it wasn't you, but you benefited from it. And listen, beloved, there's some evilness and some cruelty in this world that has to be made right. That's for free. I'm talking about what I'm talking about. So the idea that, and listen, this is for free too. If you want to give me my 40 acres and a mule, I'll take it. Put that down somewhere. I wish somebody would help me. And if you got some Negroes out there don't want their 40 acres and a mule, give it to me. I'll do right by it. That's free. So the world is me, the world, Satan, of course. That's the third one. Put in that blank. The third source of our problem, of course, is Satan. The devil is real. I don't care if he ain't got no pitchfork, he ain't got no horns on his head, but you want to know the source of problems in this world, you, the world, and Satan himself. Listen, the moment you wake up in the morning, you better know Satan is plotting to discourage you, to defeat you, to create doubt and depression and distractions in your life. Listen, the Bible is true when it says that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You better realize there's an enemy out there that's trying to take us down. And listen, if you get up in the morning and you don't meet the devil head on, that simply means you probably going in the same direction as the devil. Listen, he gonna do everything he can. When you got to be at work, you don't want to go. And then he say, you ain't got to go. You don't need to go there. Them folk don't like you no way. No, you got to meet the devil head on. Because he's trying to discourage you, and he hates us and wants to take us down. God got a plan for your life. That's good. But the devil got one, too, which is bad. So know that it's Satan, devil, and the world. But watch this. There's one more. The reason for some of the problems in this world is God. Remember, I told you that God gave the king of Israel into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. God, some of the problems and the pressures and the difficulties of our life is actually come from God. God will use some of that stuff to shake us up. I will hope somebody hears me. And he has good reason to do it. He has good reason to allow that stuff to shake us up. And listen, I know it's unexpected. We know about self. I know I'm Kenny Ray's greatest enemy. It's the enemy in me. Amen, somebody. I know about the world and how the world is evil and wants to try to take you down. And the system of the way the world is set up is not in our favor. I also know that Satan wants to take me out. But God will allow this. He allows this stuff to happen in my life. Yes, I know that's unexpected. Even as a Christian. And yet God allows some of this stuff. Yeah. And the reason why he does it is because he uses this stuff for our good. There's a reason God allows this stuff in our life. Why does bad things happen to good people? Because God is using that bad thing to help us. Help us. Yes. I believe with Daniel, he allowed it. There was a reason for it. It wasn't all for Daniel's bad, even though it looked bad. Taken from your homeland, never to see your own family again, although it looked bad that they were trying to indoctrinate him. It looked bad. But yet, the Bible declares all through the book of Daniel, God was in it and God was there. Listen, God is the only one that really brings good out of bad. And we know, help me hear somebody, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. God allows it. So I'm expecting Satan. I'm expecting myself. I'm expecting the world to be against me. But yet there's an aspect in which we got to know underneath all of this is something that God has allowed to happen in our life. Listen, I lost my job. All this stuff is being shaken up. But listen, we got to realize God may be working it out for our good. Everything that looks bad to us may not turn out to be bad for us. We'll see that in the life of Daniel. So the first step, I try to get you through that, is, don't be surprised by the adversity. And it's going to happen in our life whether we want it to happen or not. Let me give you this one point, and I'll let you go. The second point is this. Give me just 2 minutes, and I'm gonna walk you through this. We'll pick it back up next week. Number two is that, listen, what do we do when our world is shaking around us, is being shaken up, society is shaking? Number one, don't be surprised by adversity. Number two, we got to look for ways God might use it for our good. Yeah. Well, how do you want to use this? It's painful. It hurts. But God, how do you want to use this? How do you want to use this painful shaking that's going on in my life? And I want to suggest to you that God has plans, and his plans are always good. I'm going to give you the first one real quick, because sometimes God shakes things up in our life. He shakes things up in our life. On that outline, he shakes them up. Watch this. First reason why he shakes is to inspect me. Put that in that blank. God has plans for us, Jeremiah 29:11. I got plans for you. And he says, plans for good and not for evil, or not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God got plans. And sometimes God uses adversity. And the plan is God wants to inspect us. He wants to see what's in us. I hope you get that. He brings problems that it might reveal what our real motivation is, if our motivation is out of line with his will. And he wants to, inspect our character, inspect our thoughts, inspect our emotion. He examines it and checks it out. Somebody said it like this: a Christian is like a tea bag. It says you got to dip it in hot water to find out what flavor it is. If you want the flavor to come out, if God's trying to figure out, God allows us to be dipped in hot water. Ooh, help me hear somebody. So that the flavor can come out. So that what is in us can come out of us. And only way what is revealed in us, it comes out of us, is when we are dipped in difficult situations. We say we're going to pray, but when we get in a difficult situation, do we pray? We say I love the Lord and I'm going to live for God. But when I get in and my world is being shaken upside down, will I then live for God? God allows adversity sometimes to inspect us. We'll talk about that more next week, but just know that. It ain't for naught. God didn't just put you in that situation because he didn't like you. No, he's trying to bring out of you what's in you. And we'll see next week, he already knows what's in us. He wants us to know. Woo, Lord Jesus. He wants us to know. He already knows that when we get in hot water, what's going to come out of us. But he wants us to know that we really may not be where we ought to be. And the only way to find that out is God allows some adversity to come in your life. Whew. All right, I'm done. Listen, let's pick this up next week. I want to walk you through these couple of things, and we'll pick it up next week. But that's where we are. We're with Daniel, Unshakable, How to Thrive in when the world throws stuff at you. When the world throws stuff at you, can you thrive? Not just survive, not just get through, but can you thrive like Daniel? How can we remain unshakable in an unshakable world? That's an introduction. We walk you through a couple of verses. We'll finish up in this outline next week. Keep your outline so you don't lose it. Put it in a folder like mine, and we'll walk through all of this together. Listen, we've got classes that are coming up in the coming days. We have a Tuesday class that's coming up that's taught by Minister Perseus Poku, who is our minister of discipleship here at St. Paul, and he is teaching a class entitled Doctrine of Ministry on Tuesdays. It'll be starting April 13th and June 8th. I need you all to sign up for that class. It'll be online, and we're asking all of our members to participate in that class. It's going to be a blessing, and we want you all to sign up. It's the ideal of what, you know, what really is ministry. We talk about, I'm in ministry. Well, what is ministry? And what does God say real ministry is all about? And Perseus will talk about that in great detail, and so we want to lift that class up, and we're asking everybody to register online. And there is a syllabus that we're asking for a $5 donation. It is, and let me just say this right up front. Our brother, Perseus, has a kind of a parachurch ministry, and this is his work, and so we want to support his ministry as well. So it's a $5 donation for the syllabus and the outline and all of that. So we want to be part of that and part of a blessing of Minister Poku in that area. Well, if you can't afford the $5, we as a church will make sure you get it. Just call the church office, talk to Perseus, and we'll purchase it for you. Even if I got to come out my own pocket to do it, we'll make sure you have the outline in order to do that. But we want to support our brother and the work that he has put together. So that's what that class is all about, and it is where every born-again believer has been commissioned to serve. Then we'll have, starting in April, Wednesday classes as well, in the evening, 7 to 8:30, and the Tuesday classes from 6 to 7:30. The Wednesday's classes will be Kingdom Women, that's a woman's track, Strong Men in Tough Times, that's a men's track, Welcoming to Adulting, that's a young adult track on Wednesdays. And I need you all to go online to sign up, and we'll be talking more about it on Sundays, and we'll give you greater detail of what those classes are about. On the website, you should see the description of what the class is all about, a women's track, a men's track, a young adult track, and we want everybody to be involved. I will continue our noonday Bible study as we walk through this. And so you'll have that class as well that you can log on noondays, and hopefully we'll keep it within that hour 15. You know, sometime it get good to your pastor, and I just can't help myself. Amen. So remember that, and we'll talk more about it. So you got time. We're going to get to April, and we want to make sure we keep that before us. Remember, beloved, remember our sick and our shut-in. Remember those that are suffering with disease and death. Those of you who don't know, our own sister Eva Williams passed, and that is sister Lorraine, and what's her sister's name? Marilyn Johnson. Marilyn Johnson's mother. They've been faithful here over the years, so we want to support that. That homegoing service. Our pastor emeritus is going to lift up the homegoing service. I'll be there to officiate, and we want to send Sister Eva Williams, who's faithful many years. I always thought
When Mother Williams spoke to me, I was used to say, yes, ma'am, because I was afraid she's going to whoop me. And I believe she would have. Amen. So I would always say, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. Whatever she said, yes, ma'am. And whatever she told me to do, and I knew she was telling me for my own good. So, and we have matriarchs of our church, like Sister Williams, that were the foundation of this church. And so let's be there for our family in the days to come. We'll talk more about that later on. All right, I'm done. We'll see you next week on Shakeable. Any days that I may have to be missing on Monday, on Wednesday, I'll get Perseus in here to do a lesson, and we'll pick it back up. All right, God bless. We'll see you next week. Let's pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you. We pray for all those that are sick and shut in, whose life is being shaken by this society, this world, by the evil one, and even by ourselves. We pray, God, that you help us to remain unshakable. We pray that you help us to remain steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And Lord, we know that our labor is not in vain. And although we live here on planet Earth on this side, we realize that there will be some difficult days, and it ought not be a surprise to us. Help us to handle things right and handle things according to your will and your word, that through our life, you get the glory, honor, and victory. We pray for those who are going through chemotherapy and dealing with cancer. We know it's running through our congregation and through this world. But we know that you are still a doctor in a sick room. We're going to trust that. We know that you are still the great physician. And so we place them into your hands. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And together, every child of God said amen. Amen, and we'll see you next Wednesday. God bless.